back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemé. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
We have used a lot of Febreze. We've lit candles on the stench of the Thursday night football loss that the Houston Texans suffered at the hands of the New York Jets, 21-13. Oh, it's still in the room, and with us to talk about that, the NFL trade deadline, and a lot more is DJ Bienemé. DJ, first off, let's just talk about that game on Thursday. We're turning the page after this show is done, but did you see it going that badly?
That badly? I mean, you know, they lost by like 8.
This guy fumbled on the way into the end zone. I refuse to acknowledge that that was really a 21-13 loss. They lost 28-13.
Nah, I mean, because
you fumble going into the end zone. That guy should be sent to jail for that.
Yes, he should have been sent to jail. Absolutely. But, I mean, like, you know, the Texans had some bad breaks, too. Like, you know, CJ basically dropping the ball inside of the 8. You had another thing with Tommy missed the field goal, a 50-yard field goal, and then he made one, flag, draw, you know, get more plays.
This is 27-yard.
It was two bad teams. Like, two teams playing, like, bad football. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised. Texans have kind of shown when there's like some level of adversity where things aren't ideal, they can tend to like fold like a cheap tent sometimes, which is kind of odd. But I mean, again, they're a dome team. So like a lot of dome teams struggle once they get into like the elements and things of that nature. So I wasn't surprised that they lost. I wasn't surprised it went the way it went. You know, no Nico, no Steph. Like, I didn't know how they were going to be able to manufacture points outside of give the ball to Joe Mixon 40 times. So, I'm not surprised that, you know, they didn't score that much. I am a little surprised that they gave 21 in the second half to the Jets. And they let the Jets have some explosive plays, which they don't usually have. But, you know, one of the explosive plays shouldn't have even happened because Derrick Stingley should have been called for that. Illegal contact.
Yeah, that was bogus.
Yeah, that was bogus. And then obviously Garrett Wilson makes a crazy play, right? Like he won hand, he makes this catch of the year. So like, you know, it was back and forth. You know, if a few plays go the opposite way, they might have won that game. But I think that game just kind of exposed a lot of their issues that they still have to fix.
Are you surprised that they have not done anything or probably won't do anything in the next hour to fix some of those issues?
Who are they going to get, though? Like, everybody's saying go get a left guard. All right. If there's a left guard that moves the needle, why is he available?
Does it need to move the needle, though? Does it
need to just be literally anybody? Yes. Because then Kendrick Green is anybody.
Jarrett Patterson is anybody. Kendrick Green is not good.
No, but I'm saying, no. Like, that Jag. Kendrick Green's a Jag. Mm-hmm. You know, there's degrees of, like, Jags, but they're all Jags.
Talked about this earlier on the show. The lack of depth that they have on the interior offensive line, is that an offseason failure of Nick Caserio thinking that this was going to work with Kenyon Green? Because before Green got hurt, I mean, he was struggling.
Absolutely. I mean, I would say, you know, when you invest that much in the interior, you have to kind of like ride it out, you know.
First round pick, second round
pick. Like, you know, So, you know, you just kind of got to ride it out at that point. But, it hasn't worked like, at all. Juice is fine. Shaq's kind of regressed a little bit, but I wonder how much of the regression is due to like, you know, some of just Juice's youth, playing next to him. Obviously you have Titus to the right, but again, like, I mean, there's some plays where he's just getting whooped without, ain't got nothing to do with Juice at all. So, I always have my concerns about this team because I was always worried about the spine of the team, like the D-tackle room, the linebacker room, the interior offensive line room. I always feel like that the safety room, that was going to be the thing that could derail the team from getting to where they wanted to get to. It was kind of interesting because the Texans invested everything into, you know, the premium positions, tackles, quarterback, receivers, cornerbacks. But like in the interior, which in a lot of teams have tried to do, they didn't invest premium assets into that. And, you know, you're kind of seeing Kenyon Green, technically, that is a premium asset put into the interior
just
same
3 years
way.
Ago.
Yeah, it's true.
Scruggs
and
too.
Juice, yeah, too. But again, like, I wasn't high on, you know, that position group, and it's come to showing itself. And until they fix it, it's going to be a problem the entire year.
Is there anything they can do now, though, if they're not going to do it? Is it coaching? Like, something philosophically they can do different? Are we talking about the Tytus Howard to left guard with Blake Christian
not,
right tackle?
He's not good. He's not good in the run game at left guard. He's fine in pass blocking, but he's not good in the run game. So you'll what you'll be doing because Blake isn't ready to play either. What you'll be doing is hurting the run game while marginally making the pass blocking better. So I don't think that fixes it. They're in a bad spot.
DJ Bieniemy with us from ESPN.com. The Texans 6-3. They play the Lions on Sunday. The offensive line has been the issue, and I've been struck, DJ, by how defensive it seems D'Amico has been when it comes to that offensive line. He has been saying, hey, on Monday, he was talking about how it's everybody.
It is, though.
And he's on the Monday before, he was talking about how they're doing positive things as well.
Right.
I'm with you in that it's more than just the offensive line as far as the totality of what happened on Thursday. But 8 sacks. Okay, say they can't do anything to upgrade the actual roster, to upgrade the actual talent.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do to just make the offense play to its strengths when throwing it 20 to 30 times a game with C.J. Stroud seems out of the question just given the protection issues?
I would say it's a combination of everything. Like, not all the sacks are on the O-line. Sometimes he has to get rid of it or find his check down. Sometimes guys have to get open faster. Because his time to throw was 3.63. A lot of that's a combination of him just creating and running around and things of that nature. He did have some scrambles. I would say that this past week felt more like all 11 plus 12. Whereas some weeks where it felt like it was just the O-line. Like the Bears game. The second Colts, the first Colts game, the Vikings game, it felt more like O-line / Bobby. But I would say, last day was a combination of everybody. I think guys got to get open faster. CJ has to find his checkdowns quicker. Obviously, O-line has to block a little bit better. There needs to be better plans. There's no reason why Kenyon Green should ever be blocking, Quinnen Williams one-on-one. Quinnen Williams is the all-pro defensive tackle. Kenyon Green can't block a guy like that one-on-one. But, it starts from the top down where whatever their plan is to handle X, Y, and Z, it just isn't good enough. And it starts with the coaching staff. I'm a big proponent, a big believer. Come to O-line play, come down to coaching. Now, personnel, because you can make a 5th, 6th, 7th rounder into a good player if with the right coaching, especially on the interior offensive line spot. Obviously, tackles, you kind of need a dude. Right? It is what it is. There you got guys high. But for the most part, though, on the interior, that's more about coaching. And that's where they've been beating a lot.
I mean, we saw last year it start slow, right? Like, they get up 11 sacks in the first two games. It picked back up in the season. And they had a bunch of moving parts. Is there something that's, that fundamentally different with the coaching this year? Why it just seems like this is the one group specifically that took the biggest step back as they got healthier?
Yeah, I would say maybe teams just have – it's funny because they got better in the run blocking, but they got worse pass blocking. I would say teams have an idea of what their pass protection is going to look like and they're being able to exploit it. Because most of the sacks, outside of a few where, again, why you got Kenyon Green blocking Quinnen Williams one-on-one? God bless him. I would say a lot of it is stunts and twists and games and things of that nature where guys, it's just miscommunication and guys aren't picking it up correctly. And teams have realized that's a hole in their offense, and they're going to continue to attack it. Another thing too is Bobby for whatever reason on early downs doesn't go to quick game, I would say because quick game could be an extension of your running attack.
You're talking screen slants.
Yeah, screen slants, stick concepts where you kind of got a slant backside, you got a tight end run, an option route, you got an out route, you got a go route on outside, things of that nature, or, whatever that is, or stick nods, whatever that, anything where CJ takes one step and he gets the ball out, it feels like a lot of times, and he did call that, I know he did call one of those, try to get to Robert, and CJ double clutched for whatever reason, and then, it went out of bounds to start the game. Bobby has to do a better job play calling and get them out of third and obvious situations, third and longs, clear passing situations where they have to throw the ball, get them more third and five and manageable. But, they're going to get it together because, you know, this week they're facing a wagon. Like, the Lions are, to me, the best team in the league. They have the least amount of flaws, playing the best football. And it's funny, what they do really, really well, the Texans do well at stopping, but if they can't stop the run, Lions will probably put up over 30.
The Lions do run the football well. They've got Jahmyr Gibbs. They've got David Montgomery. They've got Jared Goff, who's got, I think, more touchdowns and incompletions over the last couple of games. You've got a team that's got a lot going for it. Wide receivers who are very cocky, feeling that they can wear a bleep Green Bay shirt and all that.
Yeah.
They're feeling themselves, these Lions, and I imagine the Texans are still licking their wounds to an extent. I do think it's interesting. You know, they have talked very often, DJ, about how they don't overlook any opponent. And I want to believe that. So I would think that a game like this on Sunday could theoretically bring the best out of them. The problem is that, you know, the part about not looking over people, where you hear D'Amico Ryans preaching it, you hear C.J. Stroud preaching it. Hey, every single team's the same. And yet, the track record is to 2 years is losses against the Panthers, the Falcons, the Jets twice. And it's one of those things where it doesn't really feel like it adds up, but maybe it does add up on Sunday, because this is, of all the games they've played in the D'Amico Ryans era, that's not a playoff game. What game's going to have more hype going into it than this one?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think they do. You know, each loss, like, there's credible reasons that go beyond, like, the cliche of they overlooked the opponent. And I would say, you know, especially in this game, you know, matchups, the Jets match up really well with the Texans. They just do. And I think the Lions, I think the Texans match up decently against the Detroit, because they can stop the run. Now you can kind of get them to play on your terms. But if you can't stop the run, then it's going to be lights out. You know, a lot of it's going to come down to, can Nico play this week? Obviously, you know, D'Amico didn't really say much on Monday. I mean, Nico says he's fine. Like, anytime anybody talks to Nico, he says he's good, but at the end of the day, it's not his call. So we just kind of wait. We're in wait and see mode. Hopefully he practices tomorrow. If he doesn't, well, then that's a clear sign he's probably not going to play on Sunday. I would say that they don't – yes, they're going to get up for this game because it's on Sunday night, but they got the reason why they lose games is not because they're overlooking people. I'll say that much. Yeah. I said they're not overlooking people. It's because these people. Thing is, what's scary about this game is all the games they lost this year. Right, they've lost to the Vikings, the Packers, Jets. They've all punched them in the mouth, and the Lions can punch you in the mouth. And I think that the only game where I felt like they kind of punched back when they got punched in the mouth,
Cincinnati.
No, I'm talking about this year.
Oh, this year.
Yeah. I mean, they couldn't throw a rock into the ocean, stand on the sand. So,
but Mixon was running well at least.
Yeah. So okay, yeah, they kind of punched back there. I would say, you know, even the Bears, they kind of punched back a little bit. I can't even say offense. Though the Jags game, they punched back offensively. They did, because they got punched in the mouth for a while because they couldn't move the ball, they couldn't score, and then they eventually figured it out. But yeah, I mean, it's a tough week, man.
Give the ball to Mixon 50 times. I think that's the play, but the problem is, I saw this, and we'll talk more about it tomorrow, about the actual Lions as we turn the page. The Lions haven't allowed an 100-yard rusher in 2 years.
2 years?
Apparently.
Yeah.
I saw
Aaron Glenn is big about that.
The Lions Reddit, two people posted, and there's two different numbers, but one is like they haven't allowed an 100-yard rusher in 685 days. The other one said 670 days. So, I mean, we're basically talking 2 years that they have not allowed an 100-yard rusher.
Joe's looking it up right now.
It's a very
random. He doesn't trust your numbers.
No, I'm like fascinated by his numbers.
I was stunned when I saw that because, you know, I don't think about the Lions having the best defense. I think about their offense being super efficient. I think their defense does what it needs to.
Where are we at on Sunday for, you mentioned Nico. Any idea about Will Anderson, Jared Patterson, Damian Pierce?
I don't think Will play.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't think Will play. If I had to guess, I don't think he's going to play.
How long do you think he'll be out? Because this is the second ankle injury, right, in 2 years?
Yeah, I'll probably say maybe like, it wasn't that bad. Maybe like one week.
He was on the sideline. That did make me feel better. But
I mean, shoot. Joe Mixon hurt his hamstring. I mean, hurt his ankle.
Came back in the game
and left. I think for me, if you go back in the game and you leave, that's when I'm like, yeah, you probably gonna miss next week. But I don't think it's good anything like long term.
What about Patterson? Think he'll be okay?
Yeah, I think yeah. Like, he'll be fine.
We'll find out basically.
But I don't think like you plug him at left guard, it changes anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I still think there's gonna be issues there.
What about
yeah.
the other way? With Patterson at center, because that's where it started last year, right? Where he was at center and Scruggs started at left guard last year for a couple games, didn't he as well?
I don't think so.
Or just it was Patterson was at center, and then they had someone else.
Because it was Michael Dieter that was at guard.
That's right.
Yeah, Dieter was at guard. Because I remember Juice came back right after Patterson broke his leg.
Where's Dieter?
He's probably on some farm.
I mean, that's the guy to call, right?
Yeah. I mean,
where is Michael Dieter?
You know, guys. I mean,
this is how bad it's gotten. We're just throwing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean. Yeah, no, I mean, it's not an ideal situation. I think that, you know, it feels like I'll say with the moves that they made in the offseason, I think it's fair to say through, 9 games, they probably should have prioritized a little bit differently.
Okay.
They probably shouldn't have went after Daniil. They probably should have just resigned JG. Cheaper, you have more money.
Grenard, yeah.
And then maybe you could have added a veteran. You know, someone to compete with the two interior guys, especially since like Kane missed so much of last year, right? And he wasn't good as a rookie. Like it just made sense to like have somebody just in case.
Yeah, that's what bothers me about it. It feels like they were really banking on it, and to this point, there really just wasn't much to go off.
Right,
of.
Right, yeah, exactly. And like you know, again, like Juice didn't play great last year, so maybe have somebody you know like a legitimate veteran there. Or guys that can compete with those guys, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and then I would say, you know, for this matchup, you know, maybe having a little bit more to get Sheldon Rankins back, you know what I'm saying? Like, because Sheldon or Malik, because, you know, them not having Sheldon or Malik, not saying like, Tim Stoller's been good, you know, Mario was playing well, Danico's been, you know, played well, especially, you know, but having like one of those, if you replace, not Danico, let's say you replace Mario or Tim with Sheldon, now you're talking about completely different defensive line. You know what I'm saying? I feel like they could have used their, you know, assets the way they thought about upgrading the team. They probably could have used it differently because right now, like, the team is not better than it was last year. Like, it's roughly the same.
Even though they added a lot of big
names. Even they made a lot of changes. They're basically the same team.
That's frustrating when you just take a look at all the other teams.
They might be worse. Last year, they were blowing teams out. This year, they're not even blowing teams out.
They are competing with teams like the Chiefs, who just traded for DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
Two touchdown catches last night.
Right.
The Steelers have added a lot. They have a 6-2 record.
Yeah.
If you don't take them 100% seriously, the Ravens made a move. I don't really know how much stock to put into them bringing in Deontay Johnson.
Oh, the Ravens are a wagon.
Yeah, they don't need him because they're so good.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
and we'll see how it works out, but they also just traded for Tre'Davious White. The Ravens did.
They just did?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh, but Tre'Davious is washed.
But he's not. But he's Achilles
washed.
Yeah.
He's washed.
I don't know, but it's
he couldn't. He couldn't
it's
play.
The Ravens.
He couldn't play for the Rams. It's over. It's over.
You go to the
it's
Ravens, over. You're good at football.
It's over.
I mean, Marlon Humphrey seemed banged up.
He's good. Yeah, I mean, but like, what did he go for?
7th rounder.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. Be for real. What for a 7th rounder? The man has torn his ACL, his Achilles. Like, his body's just broke down. You know what I'm saying? The Rams got guys that you could have named starting that corner.
Whatever the case, they're adding, and that is name brand, and we would like to see the Texans do that. I think that would make some people, for now, feel
no,
better.
Because when you, again, like the names that you're at, like if it's not interior offensive line help, if it's not
TJ, they could safety trade for help. You. They could trade for you, and I'd be like, okay, cool, let's do it.
Yeah, and then I get out there, and I try to tackle somebody, and then I get carried off on a stretcher.
You just gotta kick him right in the nads. No one wears cups. Just kick him, and that'll be more effective protection than what the Texans are giving. DeMeco Ryan's protecting the offensive line in the press conferences better than the pass protection that we've seen.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to him, he's not a guy's gonna criticize guys at the podium. So
it's more
he's very consistent.
It's driving me crazy because I know what he's doing. I understand why he's doing it.
Yeah.
But I am the one that has to watch the press conferences for work.
Right. No, that's fair. That's fair.
It has nothing to do with what he's saying as much as like, damn it, I can't keep seeing this over and over.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I mean, he just can't. His guy, you know, the guys watch press conferences. They just pay attention to press conferences. So, if you're ripping guys.
Yeah, especially the tackles.
They're going to, I'm not saying you'll lose them, but You might have to deal with something later on in the day.
Do you think the offensive line's allowed in the group chat? And by the way, DJ wrote a great piece about the Texans wide receiver group and CJ Stroud having a group chat that was released before the Thursday night game. The Thursday night game happens, and now, I mean, all you can do is make fun of the group chat, even though that's just how it works.
Yeah.
So who is all in the group chat? Is it the receivers?
Is it receivers and tight ends? Receivers and tight ends.
No offensive linemen allowed?
No offensive.
That's good, because they're getting probably destroyed on that group chat right now.
Is everyone in?
Like Kendrick Green,
he probably just has like other guys like because he has group chats with the O line.
What is he sending that one? This is where you're bad.
Don't do this. Please stop.
This is where I got killed, Kenyon.
I don't think he's doing that.
You can see the blood right there.
Like CJ Stroud left the group chat.
But I will say this: they do have to get it fixed, because like, it's only a matter of time until he gets hurt.
Yeah. I mean, shoot. He
got dinged up twice.
Game. Yeah.
Like, man, like, yeah, man, you know. This would give me obviously, like, I don't want CJ to get hurt at all. Like, nobody wants that. Because business goes down the toilet if CJ gets hurt.
Oh, for sure.
I would say that, you know, if this continues,
it's Astros
all the fingers you got to point at Nick, because this is the roster that he gave him. Didn't upgrade interior. Like spent the money at the wrong spots. You know what I'm saying? Like, because the only real move is probably Aziz. No, free agency. I ain't talking about the draft. Aziz.
He's been good, but he's hurt now too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Aziz, I guess, Aziz,
Hunter's
Joe.
Been good.
Hunter's been good, but JG's been just as good, if not better. You know what I'm saying? Like, JG actually gets the quarterback on the ground. Like, and JG's going to get pressures too, you know?
Yeah, but Danielle Hunter's biceps, dude.
Yeah. But JG costed like $10 million less on a per year annual basis.
You got quarterbacks and offensive linemen pooping their britches when they see those veiny biceps, dude. They're huge biceps.
They are.
Why are you
so
uncomfortable
big.
Talking about them? They're massive.
They are massive biceps. No, you're right. He does look like a DN. I will say that. But, I'm just saying, like, you know, there's just moves that could have been made to improve the spine of the roster instead of all. Cause right now, to me, they're just like a really good Madden team. You know, like on Madden, like they'd be great to fun, a lot of fun to play with. But they have some issues in the trenches that, you know, it's going to cost them. But I think that right now, with the way their defense is, the defense is good enough to like mask it. But eventually, like I saw someone on the phone about this, like, you know, they won the division, obviously. I think it's like the 3 or 4 seed, like maybe the 2 seed. Like, the issue is, what if a team sneaks in? Like, let's say they got to play the Steelers, right? Or they got to play the Jets again. Or the, I almost said the Bills. They won't be playing the Bills.
The Bengals.
The Bengals, I think, is a great matchup for them, because Bengals is going to be a shootout. Like, one of those teams that, like, the way they have to win is basically a fist fight. And the Texans offense right now isn't equipped to handle a fist fight. For 4 quarters. And in the playoffs, that can always cost you, right? Like, the Steelers would be, like, the worst matchup for them possible. Because all the Steelers got to do is hit on a couple deep shots, which, with Russ, they'll be able to hit. And T.J. Watt and Highsmith and Cameron Hayward, they would really, like, obliterate this offensive line. You know what I'm saying?
I've never been more happy about an injured player than Aiden Hutchinson being out on Sunday, but they just traded for Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah, so
the pass rushers are going to get them.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny because, like, it's not even like the ends. It's interior guys. You know what I'm saying? So,
but move those defensive ends down the interior on a stunt play.
Yeah. That's why I think the two Titan games are going to be really interesting, because they got Simmons.
Yeah. Yeah, Simmons was creating problems.
Yeah, so, you know, it's because, you know, they're not going to sweep the division, so they're going to lose to somebody in the division, you know. I mean, like, who? It's rare where teams go 6-0 in the
division.
That's
true, but they did beat the one tough team twice. Jaguars look like that. I mean, Peterson's got to be on
the Jaguars game is going to be tough. Jaguars game is going to be tough.
Everything's tough now.
But it's what I'm saying. Like, who have they blown out? Besides the Patriots. I mean, the Patriots aren't even a real football team anymore, but I do like Drake May.
Drake May's, that's all we got.
That's all you got. That's all you got. You guys are going to ruin him, though.
So the vibes have been ruined. Thanks, DJ. Thank you. Thanks for coming in here.
You're welcome.
I'm going to jump out the window now.
You're welcome.
Texas season's over. It's 6-3.
It's not over. It's just, like, the team that we thought they should be It ain't looking like that right now. And I respect CJ for finally, for someone saying the quiet part a lot. Because D'Amico always like, I hate when coaches say like, ugly wins a win, blah, 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 blah. Like, yes, it is. But like, you know, you got to be playing, like every win can't be ugly. That's how you get bounced in round one, right? Like the Vikings, all the wins were ugly in 2022 and they got bounced in round one.
It's more about being reflective of the idea that you could have done better. And
yeah, funny, yeah.
You know, Joe Burrow did it after the game. Yeah, and Stroud's doing it too, at least.
Yeah, yeah. Stroud, he was like, what's there to be happy about? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we still got a lot to do, right? D'Amico, when they win ugly, they barely win by the skin of their teeth. And like, because the other team lost the game sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like the Buffalo Bills game, like they lost that game, right? Like the Bills lost it. Like the Texans tried to give it away. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll say stuff like, you know, a win's a win. I'm glad CJ said the quiet part out loud. Like, nah, we got to start dominating people. Like, we can't keep squeaking by. Yes, this is the NFL. Like, squeaking by is a clear indication that you're an average football team. And you're just getting, like, the lucky bounces. Because, again, right, if Trevor gets into the end zone, they lose that game, right? Yes. If Caleb's able to drive the football field, they lose that game. If, you know.
If Richardson can complete 60%.
Literally. If Richardson doesn't have active CTE,
40%?
They might lose that game. Or if, like. What happened? What did I say?
Nothing. I mean, listen. Has this not been wrong that much?
I mean,
no, he's just checking out.
I mean, that's active CTE to me. But yeah, like. You know, but like, again, like, you know, like. You guys threw me off. But again.
You threw us off.
Yeah, I know. I mean, he does have active CT. But again, like, you know, obviously, like, when it comes to, like, the one-score games, like, it's always the coin flip, right? Like,
right, yeah.
You know, unless you're the Chiefs, they always win those one-score
games.
That's true. But it's usually a coin flip for most teams. And you don't want to live in that world where, like, a lot of it is out of your hands and the other team has. Because, again, like the Miami-Buffalo game that just passed, right? You know, Josh scores, Tua scores. It's like third and like nine. Josh throws up a Hail Mary. Jordan Porter, you know, Pete, you know, helmet to helmet. Now they got the ball, you know, now they're in field goal range. You know what I'm saying? So, like, a lot of stuff sometimes you put in the ref's hands. It's out of your, because, like, again, like, if you took care of your business, right, that illegal contact on Stingley doesn't even penalize you. You know what I'm saying? Because you jumped out and you handled your business throughout the entire game. You know what I'm saying? And, like, I've had players tell me in the locker room, like, we got to start jumping out on teams because we know if you jump out on teams, though, some teams will just fold. We're going to hang around now. It's a game, and they let in. If players are feeling like they got to stop letting teams hang around, I'm like, I don't want to hear this, the NFL bull crap. Like, duh, yeah, it's the NFL, but like, let's be for real. Like,
thank you.
The Browns, you know, they're a bad football team. I know the record is, you know, any given Sunday, but why let that Sunday be you?
He's DJ Bieniemy of ESPN, Houston, Texas beat reporter. Stick around. It's Scalon and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Did you catch everything this weekend in the world of sports and beyond? Neither did we.
I do not recall that, okay?
It doesn't ring a bell.
Sorry, I have no recommendation of that.
No idea.
Absolutely.
And now, in case you missed it, with Gallant and George.
This was the biggest off-the-field story in sports this weekend. Jason Kelce went to the Ohio State-Penn State game. Ohio State ended up winning. Classic James Franklin. On the way in, Kelsey's carrying what looks to be an 18-rack of beers, and there's a bunch of people that are around him, talking to him. One person was hoping that he could just get a fist bump, but you'll note that somebody else was a tad more aggressive on his approach to a former NFL center, well known for the tush push.
Kelce!
Hey, Kelce!
I didn't feel your brothers.
Kelce, can I get a fist bump?
Notice how his tone changed because Jason Kelce grabbed that antagonistic person's phone and slammed it on the ground. Then he picked up the phone and he walked with it for a little bit of time. The kid followed him, say, "Hey, bro, give me back my phone, bro," after being antagonistic, saying, "How does it feel that your brother's a bleep for dating Taylor Swift, who is a attractive woman pop star?" That's such a weird thing to say to somebody. Kelce responded to him in turn, saying, "Who's the F word now?" this led to him before Monday Night Football last night, a Monday Night Countdown on ESPN, apologizing on national TV.
I'm not happy with anything that took place. I'm not proud of it. And, you know, in a heated moment, I chose to greet hate with hate. And I just don't think that that's a productive thing. I really don't. I don't think that, you know, it leads to discourse and it's the right way to go about things. And in that moment, I fell down to a level that I shouldn't have. So I think the bottom line is, you know, I want to live my life. I try to live my life by the golden rule. That's what I've always been taught. I try to treat people with common decency and respect. And I'm going to keep doing that moving forward, even though this past, even though I fell short this week, I'm going to do that moving forward and continue to do that. So, yeah, I think we got a game to focus on. Obviously, a matchup. I don't think this is the platform to necessarily go into more detail. So,
AKA, I was told to apologize.
Advised to apologize.
Okay.
Or told, this one is, or the other.
This is one of those moments where two things can be true at the same time. Mm-hmm. He should not have used the word either. Besides apologizing for that word, you should have said nothing else. Like, this kid got what was coming to him. Like,
yeah, he just had his phone broken after saying that.
Yeah, I was going to say, he got off light.
Yeah.
Like, if that guy isn't Travis Kelce and is just like, insert another guy, you're calling his brother an F-word, like, you are normally going to get punched in the face. Like, in normal situations, that is the start of a fight.
I'm probably in the minority on this because I get called that word so much by our listeners. And seriously, that actually does happen. It does not even compute anymore. A while ago, it certainly did. It's such an interesting word. I don't think the use of it is generally meant as a homophobic slur. I don't. I think it is meant as just a word that insults men. Of all words to insult a man, that is a word to insult a man with. Is it because it implies your sexual proclivities? I suppose that's the reason. Whatever the case, someone calls you that. It is fighting words for some. And I'm curious as to how many people it would be actual fighting words, especially if they're not high profile like Jason Kelce. Weirdly, I do feel like Jason Kelce saying, "Who's the bleep now?" is appropriate in that setting. You can't throw that word back at somebody who threw it at you for nonsensical reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I get why he was told to apologize, because, like, obviously, like, I'm not, it's ESPN, like, I'm not surprised. I do not like the platform personally, like he mentioned there at the end. Like, I think, like, he's got a podcast. Let him talk about it there. It was super uncomfortable to watch it because it felt like he didn't want to be doing it. But, like, he's totally justified to react in the way they did it. Because there's another video where, like, I think he's picking up the phone because maybe he dropped it a second time, but, like, he kind of gets pushed over a little bit, and then that's right when he says, like, "Who's the bleep now?" Like, that kid is lucky. He just didn't get destroyed.
Yeah, the kid's lucky. The kid is very lucky.
Like, I give Jason credit for, like, knowing in the moment, like, not to put his hands on that kid. Because I wouldn't have blamed him. I mean, we lost his job. People have been crucifying him for that, for beating up a kid. But, like,
he'll be fine with his podcast.
Yeah. Like, it's just one of those moments, again, where it's like Marcus Hayes, the 76ers reporter. It's like people just think they can say whatever they want because of how internet tough guy speech works. Because, like, all those listeners who say it, like, none of them have the balls to come out and see us at Drift Bar next Friday and say it. Like, they only say it on the Twitch chat.
Were they next Friday?
Yeah, next Friday the 15th. Hmm. But, like, this kid, at least he had the guts to say it to his face. But, like, RIP to your phone.
By the way, Kelce may now be under investigation for criminal mischief and disorderly conduct.
Oh. Is this kid, being under investigation for hate speech?
Well, this isn't England. This is the United States of America. That's not a thing. Maybe under campus guidelines he could be under investigation for hate speech.
Definitely under campus guidelines.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we don't know that he's a student. And, again, that's Penn State people are crazy. As I've told this story several times before. One time Syracuse was playing Penn State in Syracuse, New York. And a Penn State fan who had made out with a girl that my friend was then making out with said, sloppy seconds, and when we said no one cares, he pulled out a switchblade on us and said, yo, I'm from Philly. I will never forget that guy wearing a number 10 Penn State jersey for the rest of my life. I will never forget that. These are who these people are. These are the same people, yahoos, who were standing up for Joe Paterno, who was covering up Jerry Sandusky, who was arguably the worst figure to be a part of a major college football program ever. Anyway, that is what happens in Happy Valley. More in case you missed it. The Titans beat the Patriots on Sunday. Brian Callahan, the head coach of the Titans, he clearly really needed this one.
Just how badly did you guys need this today?
I mean, look at me. I needed it bad, man. It was, we needed it.
Did you cry?
Yes.
There's no crying in football.
They needed the win.
Over the Patriots?
Yes. Yeah, it's the second win.
Can we save the tears for like a playoff win?
Hey, listen.
You think Brian Callahan's going to get a playoff win?
No, I don't.
I teared up when Syracuse beat Northwestern in the Doug Marrone era. It was the first big win, the Doug Marrone era. One
Is
of my friends
true?
Went streaking against the cross. Yeah, I teared up. It was a game-winning field goal at the end because I was like, finally, we have a pulse. You have no idea how bad they were the first 2 years, and I cared more about the football team than the basketball team. I was one of the few. I know.
Who was on that team? Just like, who are some of your guys on the Doug Marrone?
Mike Williams, R.I.P., passed away.
Not the one who just got traded.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
He's
which
the one who died. Yeah. DeLon Carter, he assaulted somebody. You should have seen how the raspberry in the side of that guy's face. Chandler Jones.
Oh, Chandler Jones. Oh, yeah.
He was there.
They got a great team so far.
Ryan Nassib, future NFL quarterback. I mean, my senior year, they were good. They actually made a bowl in the
okay.
world. But
that's a decent team.
It was okay. It was okay. One last thing, and Joe put this into the rundown. DeAndre Hopkins has tweeted out ... after a 2-touchdown reception performance with his new team, the Kansas City Chiefs, showing Randy Moss and Tom Brady
hugging.
I'm assuming that this is him saying that he and Patrick Mahomes are the new Tom Brady and Randy Moss, and that is sacrilegious. 20 touchdowns in a year, and get back to DeAndre.
I mean, they're undefeated.
Yeah, they are 1-0 since DeAndre Hopkins joined the team.
I mean, maybe they're going to do something that Randy and Tom couldn't do.
What's that?
Win a Super Bowl.
Stats are for losers. Winning's all that matters.
Well, I mean, yeah, they did. They're 1-0. A lot of season left.
It's true. A
lot of season left. Yeah, I'm a little bit annoyed. The Chiefs should have lost last night. This is bogus.
Are you going to turn into the Mercury Morris of sports talk radio and pop a champagne bottle when they don't or when they lose?
Oh, yeah.
Gave me a great idea.
Let's do it.
I'm cool with that.
I'll support that.
Wish I still had my Randy Moss jersey. It does look like an Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah, that's a tough one. We didn't know at the time, but that's a tough one. Should have given him a different jersey.
All right, let's wrap it up with a little garbage time coming up next. Gallant and George. In garbage time, you are going to hear from an Astros enemy, but you might actually enjoy what this Astros enemy has to say. It's quite the takedown of another Astros enemy. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
Tired of paying high electricity bills? There's a good chance your cool air is leaking out of your outdated windows. Are your windows safe and secure from burglars? Do you hear noises outside your home like dogs barking and lawnmowers? It might be time to consider replacement windows. Go to GulfCoastWindows.com. Gulf Coast Windows has the best-in-class performance series windows with satisfaction guaranteed. Keep your family safe and save money at the same time. Go to GulfCoastWindows.com. That's GulfCoastWindows.com.
Listen up, Texas. You can now play Powerball, Mega Millions, and your favorite Scratchers right on your phone. That's right. You can now buy and play the Scratcher games you love, like 500X and Jackpot Millions, right on your phone with Jackpot.com. The top Scratch ticket prize is up to $20 million, so don't wait. Play Scratchers right on your phone with Jackpot.com.
I just won $5,000 with Mobile Scratchers. It's your chance to win real cash prizes.
I love playing Scratchers, and Jackpot.com makes it so easy because you can buy your Scratchers and play
them right on your phone.
Jackpot.com is the greatest thing ever. I can buy scratchers like 500X and jackpot millions and play them right on my phone. I never have to leave my couch.
Don't wait. The top scratch ticket prize is up to $20 million. Go to jackpot.com and buy and play scratch-off tickets on your phone. Go to jackpot.com. That's jackpot.com. Jackpot.com.
Jackpot.com. Paid for by jackpot.com. You must be 18 or older to order a lottery ticket. Please play responsibly. If you or somebody knows a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Don't spend your day cooking Thanksgiving dinner. Order your smoked turkey, smoked ham, or turkey breast from one of Texas Monthly's top 25 barbecue joints, J-Bar M Barbecue. Complete your dinner with J-Bar M's delicious sides, creamy mac and cheese, grilled elote, sweet and honey glazed Brussels sprouts, to their favorable charro beans. Top everything off with their chocolate brownie or homemade bread pudding. Order your Thanksgiving feast today at jbarmbbq.com or call 713-534-1024.
You have a toilet? Do you have a sink? Do you have pipes in your house? Of course you do. Then put this number in your phone, 281-488-6238. That's Aqueduct Plumbing. John Granato here. At some point, you're going to need Aqueduct Plumbing. They're professional, affordable, and offer free estimates. I can't tell you how many times my buddies have asked me for that number. Don't be that guy. Be proactive. Be responsible. Be a hero to your family. Put Aqueduct Plumbing's number in your phone now. 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238.
Lance Erline here for my air conditioning company, Vanderford Air. If you need a new air conditioning system and you're concerned about finding the right company, one that can give you a quality install that cools your home to the temperature that you actually want, plus dehumidify your home to the ultimate comfort, then look no further than Vanderford Air. You're not going to overpay for an AC and heating system with Vanderford Air, and they're going to get the install done right the first time. Go to VanderfordAir.com. That's VanderfordAir.com, or simply call 281-557-COOL.
Listen up. The go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Just search ESPN 97.5 and download today. This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Last chance to dance. Gallant and George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean behind the glass. Big day today. It is a big day today. College football playoff number one released at 6 p.m. tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting with bated breath. Now, look, doesn't look like the Houston Texans are going to make a move by the trade deadline on a day where a lot of other contenders made moves and other teams have made moves before that. Definitely a bit of a downer. I suppose there's still 9 minutes left. If anything happens, you'll be able to hear about it on the Killer Bees.
There's nothing happening. It's okay. But they're going to tell you why the Texans screwed up.
No Jeff Luno at the buzzer.
There's no waiver trade deadline to save the Texans' offensive line. So pour one out. How long will they want me?
See?
Play it by Tupac when C.J. Stroud inevitably suffers an injury that costs him at least one game.
I don't like these negative vibes that you and T.J. are bringing.
What? Okay? We turn the page to next week, tomorrow.
And that's everyone,
that game was so effing bad last Thursday. I will stay with these negative vibes as long as I possibly can. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay?
You're going to not be negative about the Texans tomorrow?
No, tomorrow's a brand new day.
0-0.
And the Lions are 0-0.
We don't know who the best team in the NFL
is. The problem is that when we challenged the Astros and told them to go in the World Series on a weekend series, they did it. We said the Texans are 0-0 and they do this crap.
Well,
Astros, a little bit more successful of a franchise, I'll say.
Point it out.
You press the reset button enough, eventually you'll beat the boss. That's how video games work. That's why there's a checkpoint system.
Mm. God. Right. Rage quitting always works.
But it does feel like the Texans are playing on legendary difficulty, and they just can't get past that one Covenant Elite. You know, they can't get by that one Flood Spore. It just keeps on getting them. Alas, earwax. Anyway, let's do a little garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I'm not sure if I appreciate the wrestling heel nature of this tangent by a World Series champion, but Joe Kelly was doing some sort of interview, now part of the World Series champion Los Angeles Dodgers. Mm-hmm. And my goodness, you would think this man had a lot of contributions to their World Series, which they just won. But along the way, he just dumps on the New York Yankees. And I think I enjoy what he said. Joe, here is Joe Kelly.
It's well known. We all knew. I mean, we're the Dodgers. We know every little detail. But, I mean, past that, it was a fun series. I mean, they almost snagged a couple wins. You know what I mean? But I mean, if it was like the NCAA, like basketball, baseball, hockey, or football. I mean, like it was just a mismatch from the get go. Like we had a playoff re-ranking. Like they might be ranked eighth or ninth best playoff team. You know what I mean? Like you're putting the Padres ahead of them. You're putting the Phillies ahead of them. You're putting the Mets ahead of them. You're putting the Braves ahead of them, and the Braves just got unlucky because they had to play that doubleheader. You're putting, I mean, the Guardians played like crap, but the Guardians played better baseball around. Like, it was just a complete mismatch, and it was kind of the same feeling from 2018 when we had to go play the Dodgers. Like, the Red Sox were just the way better team. So all we knew is that we just had to play regular Dodger baseball. We didn't have to play out of our butts. We didn't have to do anything crazy, and we were going to win the World Series. It's facts. Like, just look at the team. Look at the talent. Re-rank the teams, and they're ranked eighth, and they played against the number one seed, so.
Is that Joe Kelly subtly saying the Astros were better than the New York Yankees? I noticed he did not say the Houston Astros.
Yeah,
there.
But he we know he wouldn't.
He said the Guardians were crap. I mean, he gave the Guardians a lot of credit there.
Okay, so he listed the Dodgers,
uh-huh.
The Padres, the Mets, and what was the other one? The Braves.
The Braves.
Then he threw in the Guardians. That's five. He put the Yankees at six. Or no, he put them at eight or nine. He put them at eight. Yeah. Eight or nine.
Eight or nine.
So we have six or seven and maybe eight for the Astros to sneak in there. I mean, the Tigers have to be above that, right? Although he's not doing it. If you're putting the Guardians above the Yankees, you're not taking into account what actually happened.
Would he have put the Orioles ahead of the Astros? That's one thing you got to ask there.
Although maybe not.
I think the Astros are six.
Would you put the Brewers ahead of them?
No.
What do you?
Although the Brewers almost beat the Mets, but he again is not taking into account what actually happened.
He basically just also said like the American League sucks.
Well, we knew that, top to bottom,
the American League is not good.
The Astros won the AL West with 88 wins, and they won it by a fairly decent amount.
And going into the series against the Tigers, you're like, if they win, honestly, it's wide open. Like, this thing is wide open to make the World Series. And that's why people were so, I mean, that's part of the reason. People were so bummed that they lost to the Tigers. And then you see the other teams that advance, and you're like, the Astros really could have been, really, really could have made some noise here. But yeah. I guess Joe Kelly's right. I don't know. I'm conflicted. Because he does come off as
he's such a douche when he says it, but I kind of enjoyed it.
I kind of liked it. I don't know.
So yeah, the Yankees were the ninth best.
I just feel like you got to play to talk like this, man.
That's where I land. Yeah.
Like, you're hurt or just suck, whatever reason why you weren't out there. Like, we know you're washed for sure.
Yeah.
But, like, you got to play.
He's a washed champion, though.
Two-time champion. Three-time champion?
Washed in champagne.
I don't know if he was on the 2020 team.
Because he won with the Red Sox, right?
Might have been. Wasn't that when he got in the fight with Correa? It was in 2020. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, three-time champion.
Three-time champion.
Gross.
Yeah. Joe Kelly has more titles than the Astros.
Than Jose Altuve.
Well, he's got three more than Aaron Judge. So.
Well, guess what? Today is today, and tomorrow's a new day. Everything's going to change. Everything. And by everything, I mean the Texans will be back to 0-0.
0-0, baby.
That's it. That's the only change. Sean behind the glass. Joe to my right. I am Billy Ball. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Tuesday. The Killer Bees are up next. Peace.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.